Hi, it's Melissa Moore. Welcome to Mile High Magazine. Happy that you're hanging out with us on this Sunday morning and excited for you to learn more about a great organization based right here in the Denver metro area. It is the Morris Animal Foundation, and talking with Dr. Kelly Deal this morning. She's the Senior Director of Science Communications. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being back. I always love talking about the work that you're doing at the Morris Animal Foundation, but for folks that are not familiar with you, explain who you are and what you do.
Right. Well, we are based right here in Denver, as you mentioned, and we have a big celebration this year because we're actually, it's our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe.
Yes.
We've been around for 75 years. I know it's amazing. And our mission is to bridge science and resources. And what that means is we are a fundraising organization and we get money from donors. And then we fund the best and most innovative science to help animals around the world and to improve their health and well-being.
So explain what that looks like, because I understand what you're saying, but for folks that are like, okay, you're funding different things, like give me some examples of some of the current studies, especially some of the ones here in Colorado that you're working on right now.
Right. So we like to think of ourselves a little bit as the NIH of animals. And so again, we raise money and then we'll get proposals sent to us for funding. We do a lot here in Colorado, which is excellent. We have a really interesting study that we're doing in collaboration with University of Denver. And it is looking at the health of service dogs that have been paired with veterans who have PTSD. And I think we all know that there's great evidence that having a service dog, right, is really important for people suffering from PTSD. But we really don't know what the impact of that service is on the service dogs themselves. And we want to learn, are there things we can do to support them as they do their jobs? So that's a really exciting study that we just launched recently. Of course, for many years, we've done a lot of work with our friends up the road at Colorado State University and their College of Veterinary Medicine. We have a couple studies with them right now. One is a pretty detailed study looking at how aging affects the immune system of dogs as a way to try to find a way to support that immune system. I think we all know our immune systems don't work as well as we age. And what can we do to boost that in dogs? We also have a really fun study in horses that looked at different ways to feed horses, which sounds, people go, well, how do you feed horses differently? But there are actually ways, and obesity is a problem in horses. And we looked at the effect of different styles of feeders on obesity and also behavior in horses.
Interesting. I mean, those all sound so interesting, especially the service dog study, because I have to tell you, it's one of those things that you always think about the benefit to the person, but you don't think about what the service animal maybe is going through. And like you said, how to better support them. When did that study start?
That just launched recently. So we're in the recruiting phase right now of that, but we're really excited. It's going to actually take probably 3 years to complete. So, you know, we're just starting down that pathway, but we're very excited. And your point is well taken. We are actually one of the few funding agencies where we've funded studies looking at the impacts of service on animals. We have one right now, one that just finished on actually horses, because people may know that horses are used a lot in therapy,
right,
for folks. And we're looking as well at what is the impact on horses when they're in these kind of programs.
So explain to me, just because I'm kind of a science geek a little bit, how you will determine that, because you can't, obviously the horse isn't going to say, hey, I'm feeling a little stressed out, or here's what's going on. So what are you looking at?
Yeah, there's a couple things. It's kind of interesting. Some of this was done via video, and also where people looked at, as for example, as the horse was being approached, what was their affect? You know, like basically kind of reading their face and their body language. And how do they seem to feel about people approaching them and touching them, especially people that they may not be used to, right? These folks that are coming for therapy, kids, adults, how do they feel about these guys? You know, do they seem distressed by it? They may be look perfectly calm, but what are their subtle body signals? For the dog one that we're doing with University of Denver, we're actually looking at some biological specimens. So we're looking at blood samples to look for things like stress hormones, for in these dogs that, again, can appear outwardly very calm, but maybe they're struggling a bit.
I think it sounds fascinating. I love so many of the studies that you're doing, and especially the ones tied here to Colorado. That's always like so cool to hear about. And tell me about what special is happening right now, end of the year campaign, what you're doing.
Right. So we're in the midst of our end of year campaign, as you mentioned. And this was obviously one of our big fundraising times of the year. It is for a lot of people. As I mentioned earlier, we run on donations. From the vast majority of our donations just come from just regular people out there who are animal lovers. And we're in that right now. We have a great offer from our Board of Trustees because they're going to match one-to-one up to $200,000. And that match is running right now, which is incredibly generous. So you can double your impact right now through our donation program.
Okay. All right. And where do, for folks that do want to make that donation, where do they need to go?
Right. I'm sorry for the long website, but it's morrisanimalfoundation.org. That's our main page. You can find all kinds of ways to donate, and we make it as easy as possible right now.
Well, obviously, it takes a lot of money to do all of this research and to do all these different projects. How much money goes out in research, maybe a year? Do you know that?
Yeah, roughly. It can vary a little bit, but it's roughly between $4 and $6 million every year. So that's a lot we have to raise. I know we're going to probably talk, because I know you love Goldens. We'll talk about the Golden Retriever Lifetime Study, but that study alone takes anywhere between $2 and $3 million a year to manage.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
What have you heard? Like, tell us some of the projects maybe in the past that you've done, that you've seen success and some of the changes those have sparked.
Right. We like to point back a little bit in time to some of the work we did on vaccines that people use every day. So the canine parvovirus vaccine, the feline leukemia virus vaccine, those were developed with some funding from us way back in the day when people first had these ideas about these particular diseases. And we're very proud because those are, I mean, we're talking 40 years now, 40 plus for canine parvovirus and 35 for feline leukemia at least. So those have been very, very important for us. One that is really cool that's closer, more recent, is if you've ever been to, we've all been to shelters and maybe to a pet store, right, where they have animals for adoption. And if you've seen the cages for cats with the little levels and the little tubes, well, we actually funded the gal who developed those about 15 years ago, which we now take for granted. But she was looking at cage design and how to reduce stress in cats, which in turn reduce disease. And no one would fund her, but she came to us and we funded that. And obviously, I mean, everywhere you look now, right?
People
have those kinds of setups for cats. And it's really helped in decreased infectious disease and stress in shelter cats, which in turn improves adoption.
Right. That is very cool, because I don't think I'll ever look at it quite the same now, because I just took for granted that that's how it's always been. And of course you would do that.
Right. And we did some work with cage space. We've done a lot of work with shelter animals and in improving their welfare. And sometimes they don't work. Like, we did some work on looking at screening and some of the early tests. I think people know right now that we're having an outbreak of a weird canine respiratory problem. And we have looked in the past at canine influenza and dogs in shelters and looking at different testing methods, some which work out, some which don't. But we need to know that information. I said sometimes our studies aren't always very sexy, but they're necessary, right? To do this work. We just finished a study looking at an osteosarcoma, which is a bad bone tumor vaccine, and looked at trials for that. That was really interesting. It holds some promise. It fell short in some areas, but it may be very good for some dogs. And we didn't know that before we just completed this study. And that's going to change things probably within the next year or two on how people treat dogs with osteosarcoma. So it's a very exciting finding as well.
Yeah, it really is. And I love hearing just about all the different kinds of projects. You brought up the respiratory, this new respiratory virus that has been going around. I know they've had some dogs here in Colorado that have caught it and passed from it. Do you know anything more about it? It sounds so mysterious.
Yeah, it's a really interesting problem because there is something I think a lot of people are probably familiar with the term kennel cough, mm-hmm. right? We talk about it all the time.
Right.
It has a fancy name. It's called, I got to get this right. It's CIRDC, which is Canine Infectious Respiratory Disease Complex. And that complex encompasses some bacteria like Bordetella, which we used to call the kennel cough bug, but we know it's more complicated. Canine influenza, which I just mm-hmm. mentioned to you, something called a virus called parainfluenza, streptococcus. There's another weird bug called mycoplasma. So all of these things are together in this respiratory complex, right? And
right.
we see it, you know, it's pretty common. And what people are confused about right now is this just a bad season, mm-hmm. right, of
right.
CIRDC, our old friend, quote, kennel cough, or is it a new bug? What I've heard is that one group thinks they found some DNA from an unusual bug, but other groups have not been able to confirm it. And the problem is just because you find a bug doesn't mean it's causing disease, right? We
right.
have better technology, and that's why it's CIRDC and not just Bordetella anymore, because the more we learn about this respiratory stuff, the more bugs get lumped into this this gamish. The problem is it has a fair number of viruses in it. And we know that viruses, right, antimicrobials, antibiotics don't kill viruses,
right?
right? They kill
right.
bacteria. So the problem is just like us, if we get the flu, we can get it bad enough, right? That's a virus that we can develop pneumonia, right?
Yes, yes.
And then we can have viruses and bacteria. And that's when the dogs get really sick. But stay tuned. There's I will honestly say it's pretty controversial amongst veterinarians right now. I think everybody's recommending, avoiding contact with other dogs.
Right.
Dog parks, stuff like that. But it is raging within veterinarians what is really happening. But there's a ton of interest, a ton of studies, lots of things going on right now. And so stay tuned.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so interesting. And the fact that it's popped up. I mean, my daughter saw it first on TikTok. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then it hit the news.
Right. Exactly. So I think we'll sort it out, but it is causing a lot of concern, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Dog
absolutely.
Owners. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially so many dog lovers here in Colorado. So talking about the Morris Animal Foundation, looking forward, what are some of the goals that you have coming up for next year?
Well, a couple things. One is we have a big initiative right now for raising money to look at hemangiosarcoma, which is a very deadly cancer of dogs. It was the inception for this initiative is because hemangiosarcoma is the number one killer of dogs in our Golden Retriever Lifetime Study.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, right?
Right?
That's a cancer that's killing the most dogs. And we want to encourage researchers to take a look at it. It's a terrible cancer of dogs. We will have probably we're going to do some cat studies here shortly. We'll be looking at what people are bringing us with cats. We have some virus studies. We have some vaccine development studies, especially in the cat space. Horses, we're doing some work with all kinds of things right now. The usual, we do a lot of orthopedic work in horses, but we're also looking at a very unusual disease in horses. It's probably more common than we think. It's called, I'll just say the acronym, PPID. If people are out there who know about Cushing's disease
mm-hmm.
in dogs, Cushing's disease affects horses very different looking.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing a big push this year looking at funding a bunch of studies looking at this very common, more common than we think, disease in older horses, but it can really impact their quality of life.
Oh, man. It's so scary when you hear things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
For
but
sure.
But I love the fact that you're doing all the research and the studies, and it's exciting to hear about the studies that are coming up, too.
Yeah, it's we got a lot. We always have a lot going on. We're watching now. People may have heard of a feline infectious peritonitis outbreak in Cyprus.
Yeah.
FIP is a coronavirus, so everybody knows what coronavirus is. This is one that affects the gut. And stay tuned on that. I have a feeling we're going to be involved in a big study soon. So there's a little homicide information, and we'll see what happens with that. But we've been approached to help fund some of that. We'll be doing more equine horse behavior studies this year as well. We have a wonderful donor who every year gives us some money, and we'll be so looking at some of the welfare issues for horses.
Kelly Deal with the Morris Animal Foundation. Always good talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. For more information, just go to the radio station's website. I'm Melissa Moore. Have a blessed day. Be kind to everyone. I'll see you back here next Sunday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.